Lord, for allowing us to spend time with you. We glorify the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And we appreciate it tonight more than we can adequately express. We appreciate the presence of the Lord. It's what makes all the difference. And so he's here to make the difference tonight. Lord bless all of you that have braved the winter elements and come to the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate your attendance here. And all of you that are listening in from home or wherever else you are, thank you for joining with us in your homes as we have church tonight. And I know there was some extra effort put forth in preparation for this service. Those that had to run and get some ice melt and those put it out, and ushers stepping up and clearing out the walks. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. Amen. Luke, the 6th chapter, is where we're reading from this evening. Reading about a miracle that Jesus performed in the synagogue. Several years ago, I thought to myself, as many times and as often and as much as Jesus went to what we would call church, it was church for them, the synagogue, the temple, as much as he went to the house of worship, surely there was a multitude of miracles. I mean, if he's going to work a miracle anywhere, surely it would be a church. And I was surprised to find that very few of his miracles and works that he performed was done in the sanctuary, in the synagogue. Primarily because there were those there that really weren't interested in what Jesus had to do. They were intimidated by him, threatened by him, and were very critical of him. Such as was the case here in Luke chapter 6. We find beginning in verse number 6, came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. There was a man whose right hand was withered. The scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." He arose and stood forth and said, "Jesus, unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He, looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. They were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Jesus was messing with their religious system. How dare he do something on the Sabbath day? But in the process of doing it, how dare he call their hand and make them look bad? That's not our focus here tonight. The focus is the miracle that Jesus did. Matthew and Mark, in their gospel recordings, also include this miracle. They write simply of a man with a withered hand. But Luke, the physician, perhaps his occupation and his perspective and his type of perception would be a little bit more detailed. And a physician would notice more than just a hand, but which hand? And Luke, here in our text, writes of a man with a withered right hand. His right hand was withered. And after the miracle, the Bible says this man's right hand was restored whole as the other. Want to minister tonight on this subject, restored right hands. Restored right hands. Let's lift our voices together. Let's ask God for his help tonight in this place. Lord, I love you. God, I thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you for the liberty of the Holy Ghost that we feel. God, the unction of your Spirit that we feel in this sanctuary tonight. God, and I trust every other part of our church family is feeling your hand upon them as they listen into this service and join with us virtually. Oh God, let grace flow in this house and in our homes tonight. Let special anointing and grace rest upon me right now, Lord. Grace to us all. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Lord bless you. Now, I believe that obviously, according to the scriptures, all scripture is given by inspiration. And there is a reason for everything that is said and the way that it's said. I believe through the word of God, God said what he wanted to say, and he said it the way he wanted it said. And there are some details given from time to time in the scriptures, and to be a student of the word of God and to rightly divide the word of truth, I believe that it's important to pay attention to the details. If God saw fit to include the detail, then let's pay attention to it. I understand that there are details that sometimes in Scripture we wish were included, but God saw fit not to include some of the details that we would rather him include, but the ones that he did include, and this is a detail that perhaps often is overlooked. This man did not just have a withered hand, but it was his right hand that was withered. Now, I know that this was a physical miracle for this man. The important thing is that this man received a miracle that day. It was a very significant miracle. Remember that during this time, the law was still in effect, and there were some very strict laws about attending the synagogue, the house of worship, going into the house of the Lord. And the law declared essentially that if you had a physical handicap, the house of God was off limits to you. You could not go to church if there was something wrong with you. Now that's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Thank God the rules have changed, because there's no better place to go when something's wrong with you than the house of the Lord. And this man, it would appear the scribes and Pharisees were laying a trap for the Lord, and they knew what the law said. And perhaps this man's desire to go to church and knowing what the law said, went into the synagogue. And this was the reason why he was there. Not because he was malicious. Not because he had ill intent. But the scribes and the Pharisees knew he was there. And they were watching Jesus to see what Jesus would do with this man that was not supposed to be there. And he called them out. And then he worked a miracle for this man. But it's more to us tonight than a physical miracle. It's what this particular miracle, I believe, represents to us. And that's what I want to deal with tonight with the help of the Lord. Let's look at some scriptures here that have to do with the right hand. Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 69th verse, Jesus says, "Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." And so we understand that the right hand, that phrase and that statement, represents power and authority. And it signifies strength. It's not just action, but it's authority. It's not what you do, but the power and the authority to do. The right hand. Everybody say the right hand. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 31. "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Notice, not just anybody can do what Jesus did, but he has been exalted with the right hand to be a prince and a savior. He has been exalted. He has been placed in a position of authority so that he can do what needs to be done. Romans 8:34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And so, again, it's because of Jesus and his position. And we have a right to believe the things of the Lord. Colossians 3:1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." That position of power and authority. Hebrews 10:12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." 1 Peter 3:22, "Who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." I know we're talking about God's right hand, the right hand of God, that position, that place of power and authority that Jesus Christ alone inhabits. And the signifying the authority and the power that Jesus has because of who he is. Amen. Now, I enjoy word studies. That's one of my favorite modes of study. I can get into the meaning of words, and I ran across something here, and this word right, not just hand, but the word right. And I thought this was rather interesting. It means the right side. That's powerful, isn't it? Now, I got this from the Strong's Concordance, and I'm just going to read it like Mr. Strong wrote it. "The right side or feminine hand as that which usually takes." The feminine hand as that which usually takes. Take it up with Mr. Strong. Amen. There's a reason, but I'm not going to go there tonight with the help of the Lord. The word "wither" here simply means members of the body that are deprived of natural juices, that are shrunk, wasted. So in other words, they're connected to the body, but they're not worthy members. They're worthless. They're useless. They're just attached and just connected, but they have no value. They have no usefulness. They're withered. There's something not flowing where it needs to be flowing. The flow of life, the circulation has been cut off. And so this man had a withered right hand, signifying he had a problem of no authority. What does that represent to us? His right hand was withered. He was in the house of God and had no authority. He had no power. Was not that he did not have desire. It was not that he was not active. It was not that he wasn't willing to put forth some effort. But his right hand was withered. I've got a burden tonight. Amen. For Tulsa Lighthouse Church. For those people that are listening to what I'm saying here right now. And you have a desire to be effective in the kingdom of God. It's not a lack of desire. It's not a lack of effort. But oftentimes in the kingdom, we have too many people whose right hands are withered. They don't have the authority, and they're not exercising and living in that rightful position that God has intended for us to dwell in. Can you say in Jesus' name? Amen. Job talks about the right hand. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. Notice, he says, I look on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. So, again, the left hand seems to signify what's done, the activity, the action, the working, the doing. The right hand seems to signify the power and the authority. The left hand where he doth work. The right hand of power and authority. And so again, what this miracle and what this man represents to us in this generation was that it was not a lack of effort on his part. But it was a lack of power and authority. Can I say it like this? He was active with no authority. He was in the house hiding his lack of authority. Stand forth in the midst. The Bible said he stood forth. Now then, stretch forth thine hand. Amen. Stop hiding. Can I say it tonight? Stop hiding your handicap. Amen. Stop coming to church. Amen. Hiding your lack of authority. Going through the motions. Just being glad to be in the house. Just taking it all in. Amen. Doing what you're asked to do. Staying busy and doing things, but what you're doing is not as effective as it can be and as it could be and as it should be. Again, it's not a lack of effort. Amen. Many times we preach about desire. That's not my burden tonight, but my burden is for some good people that have great desire and you're willing to put forth the effort. But there's a miracle in the house tonight. One of the most frustrating things in places that you can be is putting forth an effort and feeling like you're wasting your time. No matter how hard I try. It's like the man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus says, will you be made whole? The man said, sir, I have no man when the waters are troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step it down before me. I'm putting forth an effort, but I've still got a problem. It's not a lack of desire. It's not because I don't care. It's not because I'm not trying. I'm putting forth the effort. There's a sense of frustration here. I'm doing everything I can do. But it never seems to be enough. In one, in the kingdom of God, amen, people that are busy but not being productive, People that have desire to get something done, but they're struggling, amen, with true spiritual accomplishment and get it to be very, very frustrated. I've come to preach tonight that in the house, there's a miracle. It meant there's a miracle for a right hand. There's a miracle. There is a restoration. Oh, hallelujah. Lift up your hands right now. Hallelujah. Let's call upon the name of Jesus together. I worship your name, oh God. I praise your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, help us right now, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible said that when Jesus was finished with the miracle, his right hand was restored whole as the other. There was nothing wrong with his left hand. I just want to preach what I feel tonight. There was nothing wrong with his energy. There was nothing wrong with his desire. There was nothing wrong with his effort. The problem was there was something wrong with his authority and his power. He didn't have the authority and the power that he needed to have the effectiveness of what he did be experienced. And Jesus says, I can fix that. I can do something about that. Mark chapter 1, they were all amazed in so much. But they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this and what new doctrine is this? For with authority, somebody say authority. With authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. There was something about Jesus. This is not just another man. One time they said, there's something different about this man. When he speaks with authority, not as the scribes. It's not just what he says, but it's the way that he says it. Nobody knows there's a real difference in doing and accomplishing, trying and succeeding. I'm telling you that things of God and the kingdom of God is too important just to go through the motions, just to put forth an effort. I feel my help coming right now. It's not how... Hear me tonight. It's not just how busy you are. It meant what good is being busy if nothing's really getting done. The key here is accomplishing. The key is experiencing the best and being effective in the kingdom. There's too many people that they are satisfied with just trying, doing, putting forth an effort. I'm just doing what I can. And they just get comfortable. They get satisfied. Their conscience gets soothed because, well, I'm busy. I'm moving. I'm doing. But nothing is really getting accomplished. You're burning energy, but you don't have anything to show for it at the end of the day. Jesus says, I can fix that. I mean, thank God for a healthy left hand. But what we're looking for is a healthy right hand to go along with it. To make what you do effective and long lasting. Now Jesus said in Luke 10, behold, I give unto you power. Somebody say power. I give unto you power. I'm giving you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I giving you power over the power of the enemy. I know this is not the majority, but just let me pick up some folks here along the way. Some folks, they're all in to doing something for God until the devil shows up to oppose. And so what they're doing and their testimony is, I'm doing for God all that the devil will let me do. And I'm telling you, you won't get very much done for God if all you do is what the devil lets you do. And Jesus said, I'm giving you authority over demonic authority. I'm giving you power over demonic power. I'm giving you power over all, so I say all the power of the enemy. Everything, all the power, all the resources, all the weaponry, all the arsenal of hell, all the power of the enemy. Jesus said, I am giving you power over that. Now, if Jesus is giving power, why would I not receive it? Nothing shall by any means hurt you, he says. In Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He's preaching about authority and power over the adversary. Jesus still said in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. It means inherent power that resides in a thing by virtue of its nature. When you get the Holy Ghost, what's the Bible say? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You get a spiritual nature change. The old nature is taken out, and a new nature is put there. You get the nature, if you please, of God. Amen. A divine and a holy nature. I'm giving you power. I'm giving you the resources to tap in to all power, all authority, ultimate power, ultimate authority. The same Jesus that said this said, all power in heaven and earth belongs to me. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. All power, Jesus said, is mine. It's his possession. It belongs to him. He can do with it what he wants to. And so if it's his, he can give it if he wants to. It's his right. It's his possession. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. The Psalms talks about exercising vengeance upon the heathen. This honor have all his saints. It's not what we do on ourselves, with ourselves or by ourselves. It's what God does through us. What God gives to us. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. This is not a natural war. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity. Casting, doing something. But noticing, not doing, accomplishing. Not trying, but succeeding. When I'm talking about these things, I'm thinking about effective prayer. That was the problem with some of the early church members. They were praying. They were trying. They were putting forth an effort. And when the report came to them that their prayer had been answered, they had a hard time believing it. Because I'm really into putting forth the effort, but I'm not into getting something done. You need to get used to accomplishing something in the kingdom. I mean, prayer is not just something you do to take up time and make noise. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It gets something done. That's why we're praying. We're not praying to soothe our conscience or to fill a time slot. We're praying to be effective. Amen. When we lift up our hands, Paul said, I would that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubt. And what's he talking about? Let's be effective. Let's be productive. Let's be productive in the kingdom of God. Let's get something done. Let's not just spin our wheels. Come on, we're in a race. This is not about being impressive. This is about being effective. I don't know that much about racing, auto racing. I know just a little bit. And I know the goal is to cross the finish line first. The one that takes home the trophy at the drag strip is not the one that produced the most smoke on the burnout. It's not the one with the shiniest paint job. It's not the one with the best appearance. It's the one that goes the fastest and gets the job done the best. Did not Paul liken this walk with God as a race and as a fight? He said, run that you may obtain. He said, there's a lot of runners, but one receiveth the prize. There's one trophy at the end. He said, run that you may obtain. He said, it's like a boxing ring or a wrestling match. He said, I'm fighting not as one that beateth the air. It's not the one that looks the most impressive in the corner, jabbing at the air, beating his mitts together. No, it's the one that lands the punch. It's the one at the end whose arm is raised in victory. Not because he was the one necessarily expected or the one that was the most impressive, but the one that was effective. Oh, hallelujah. I believe that God is trying to help everyone under the sound of my voice tonight understand you can be more than just busy. You can be effective. What you do can matter more in the kingdom. Amen. I know a lot of times it seems that what the word of God and what spiritual authority is calling for is activeness. And let's get busy and let's do. And I get all that. And so we get busy, but you know, we're making a lot of noise and we're putting forth a lot of energy and we're burning a lot of calories, but nothing's really getting done. Could it be that nothing's wrong with our left hand, but our right hand is withered? Could it be that we've got what it takes? We've got the initiative. We've got the desire. We've got the energy. We've got the impetus. We really want to do something. And so we're busy. We're active. We're trying. We put forth the effort. And God said, amen, get your right hand out of your pocket. Stretch forth your right hand. Let's make what you do more effective. Don't just come to the house of God and make noise, but get something done. Be effective. Be productive when you lift up your hands. Amen. Let heaven come down. When you pray, expect to get an answer. Don't get a knock at your door saying what you've been praying for has come to pass and you don't have faith enough to receive it and say, no, he can't be delivered. We're praying for his deliverance. We're praying for a miracle. Don't tell me a miracle's here. We're praying for it. There is a point in your relationship with God and in your walk in faith where expectation kicks in. It's not pride. It's not I've arrived and I'm somebody. It's I know who I am because of who he is and what I have received because of what he's given. I give you power. Ye shall receive power. Amen. Our weapons are mighty through God. Again, it's not our ingenuity. It's not our ability. Amen. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's his ability. It's his power. It's his resources. But he has made them available to us through the gift of grace. I've got strength that you don't have, but you can have it. You can accept it. You can receive it because I'm trying to give it to you. Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. I read a verse of scripture. I won't be much longer. in Isaiah 41. And God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Why? Because I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Thou shalt seek them, and thou shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. They shall be as though they were not. Why? I am the Lord thy God. I am with thee. Brother Tony, come help me out. Come stand here. Amen. Amen. Desiring to do something for God like the vast majority of Tulsa Lighthouse Church. Amen. Willing to put forth an effort. Willing to pray, to worship, to try, to strive, to believe. Sometimes I'm standing in the front of the line tonight. When I confess, I want what I do to be more effective. I want my prayer to be more effectual. I want my evangelism efforts to be more effective. I'm not just inviting to say I've invited, but I'm inviting to see people come. I'm looking for a Bible study opportunity. I'm looking for an open door to walk through so that I can take the Word of God into a home. Again, not just to fill a slot, not just to suit my conscience, not just to say, okay, God, I'm busy, I'm doing something. No, I'm doing it so the kingdom of God can increase. Right, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. We're doing it to grow the church and to build the kingdom. Right. We're not just in it to be seen and to be a part of the crowd. This next verse says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. God says, I'm going to come up beside you. You raise up your left hand there. You've got a lot of desire. You've got a lot of energy. You've got a lot of purpose. Yeah, you're willing to put forth the effort. You're willing to make to strive and to try to exert the energy. Can I get a witness? Amen. Nothing wrong with your left hand. But sometimes we feel like, hey man, I've got the energy, but I don't have the effectiveness. I don't have the authority. I don't have the power that I need. And God said, here, let me come up beside you. And with his left, he grabs your right. And God said, my right hand is free. What has happened now? Oh my Lord, God's right hand has become yours now. And now I've got the right hand of God. Oh, I've got my desire and God's authority. I've got my energy and God's ability. I will hold your right hand. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to walk in there with you. And you're not in the fire by yourself. You're not in the storm by yourself. You're not giving that Bible study by yourself.
You're not in that prayer meeting by yourself. You're not on your prayer bones by yourself.
Yay.
But the Spirit itself, come on, knoweth our infirmities, and prays with prayers, amen, that cannot be uttered with groanings. Come on, somebody, there's a God in heaven that wants to stand beside you and take your right hand in His and make what He has available to you and make His power effective in your life. Oh, would you lift up your hands unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you let God step in beside you right now? My God, I feel such a desire from this church. I feel it from you here in the sanctuary. I feel it from the church family at home tonight. Brother Waldrop, I want to be effective. I want to be productive. My God, the help of the Holy Ghost is sweeping in this sanctuary right now. God says you're not the only one that wants you to be effective and productive. You're not the only one that wants what you do to matter and what you do to count. It's my kingdom after all. It's my name and my word and my church and my bride and my blood. It's my promise. Amen. It is the prophecy that I sent from my throne to your home. I stand and glorify the name of the Lord. I feel God wants to step in His place right now. Come on, there's the work of restoration here. Amen. There's a restoration for some right hands. Not necessarily physical. You know what I'm preaching tonight. Amen. God wants to restore authority. Oh, God wants to restore power in your experience and your relationship with God. You don't just have to show up and make noise and go through the motions. Amen. Expend energy and burn calories, and when it's all said and done, oh, you've got a sweaty forehead and a pant and a weariness. I've been working all day, but I ain't got nothing done. One of the most frustrating feelings there are is to try to do something and you're tired and you're weary. Everything I've done, insufficient. Everything I've done, not enough. No matter how hard I try, still unfulfilled. I've got the energy. I've got the work ethic. I've got the desire. I've got the initiative. What I need is the power. I need the authority so that what I do is more effective. Hallelujah. Let's call upon the name of the Lord together. I love you, Jesus. I want it, Jesus. Oh, God, I'm preaching this tonight because you want it. You've got what we lack. I'm asking for grace to come upon our church family right now. Oh, God, these good people, faithful people, diligent people, praying people, worshiping people, desirous people. Receiving promises, believing prophecies, following authority. Oh God, but you want us to be so much more effective. Help us to see it the way it needs to be seen tonight, God. You've got what we need. Would you lift up your voice? Would you open up your heart? Would you be sincere in the house of the Lord? God, I know your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. I love you, Savior. I worship you. I praise you.
Come on, somebody's hearing what I'm saying right now. I know I'm talking to somebody in person and virtually. You are weary. You are weary with coming to church with a handicap. Not magnifying problems. I'm not looking for situations tonight. I'm just trying to speak what I feel to somebody. Withered right hand. You look around and it seems like others can get so much done with so much less effort. And this is what you say. Why even try? Why even put forth the effort? I'm just wasting my time. I never get it done. I never get there. And so you know what I'll do? I'll just go to the synagogue with my withered right hand. And I'll just be glad to be there. Hallelujah. I said, I'll just be glad to be there. But Jesus is here right now. Jesus has come to church. He sees full well there's nothing wrong with your left hand. There's nothing wrong with your desire. There's nothing wrong with your work ethic. There's nothing wrong with your energy. There's nothing wrong with your submission. There's nothing wrong. You just need some authority. You just need more power. You just need something to make what you do more effective. Stretch forth your hand. God wants to restore spiritual authority in your life. I said God wants to restore authority and power in your experience, in your relationship. God wants to heal your faith. I'm not surprised when an answer comes. I was praying, expecting an answer. It doesn't surprise me when somebody knocks on the door and says, Peter's out of prison because your prayer's been answered. Of course he's there. I was expecting that to happen. Church, would you pray with me right now? Come on, there's a work of the Spirit. There's a move of God here right now. I know we've got a lot of distractions to overcome. I know we've got more at home than we do at church. That's okay. We're all at service together, but wherever you're at, if you're listening in person or online right now, why don't you just open up? Why don't you reach out right now? Even if you have to take your physical right hand and lift it up, signifying all my lack, all my need, all my inadequacy, all my insufficiency. Here it is, God. With a right hand. Ikalabaha shatori alamo hukori yatai. Ah, Lord, I feel the word of God in my mouth. God wants to make what you do powerful and effective. Let restoration come. In the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone else want to come and stand in this altar? Lift up a withered right hand. Anyone else want to acknowledge a desire to be more effective and productive in the kingdom? In the name of Jesus. Come on, family, bring your voice with you. It's not just about the noise that you make, but it is the desire that you express in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Come on, right hands restored. Restored right hands. Don't have to live with no power and authority. Not wasting my time when I put forth an effort. What I'm doing is effective and productive for God.
I pray restoration. I pray deliverance. Come on. Come on. Let him hold your right hand. Let him take your right hand in his.